Okay, thank you very much. Carabosa, we all know how far we go, and we're going to translate. I never know who I'm talking to exactly what level of translation. We all know how far we go for a mace mitzvah. Right, what's the concept of a mace mitzvah? So we all know how far we go for a mace mitzvah. What's the concept of a mace mitzvah? Someone passes away, no one to take care of him. That's called a mace mitzvah. We go to tremendous extents. You could be top level real estate. You kover bum komo. You bury him where he is. The concept of a mace mitzvah is taken over to, in that sense, to mitzvot also. Mitzvot no one does. Some mitzvahs gain popularity. Lashon Hara, thank God, is popular today. I have a great story for you guys. That's a joke, okay? Lashon Hara is, thank God, the Chafetz Chaim put it back on the map. It wasn't such a thing 150 years ago by the regular people not to speak Lashon Hara. You know what I'm talking about? Chatneys. Someone named Rosenberg who made chatneys a thing on these shores. But there are mitzvot that don't make it, so to speak. And I want to talk about one of those mitzvahs. And this mace mitzvah is the idea, listen well, guys, of knowing the Torah. Of Yedias HaTorah. Now, it's a unique and unusual mitzvah because L'shvachim Sheyisrael, to the honor of the Jewish people, our beautiful nation, there is so much learning going on. So much. Tens of thousands engaged in Daf Yomi. Yeshivas, which produce Lamdanim, I said last Thursday. Now it's two Thursdays ago. I was in the Chevron Yeshiva, one of the greatest yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, one of the greatest yeshivas in the world. 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, hundreds of fellows learning. Hundreds of top learners sitting with no one watching them. 100,000 at the Grand Siyum Hashas. 100,000 people filling MetLife. You know why it's called MetLife? To call my friend Rav Eitan Feiner. For 7 years, it's Met. Once every 7.5 years, it comes to life with the Siyum Hashas. I know the Giants are doing well, but still, it's Met, okay? Nifle B'Yosef. Also, we are a people of the book. We are Am HaSefer. It's our national pastime, learning. But who is holding on to their learning? Now, let's sharpen that question. Who that it's a challenge for is holding on to their learning? Of course, you have the Reshefters of the world, the Meritvorskis that I just saw. I find, in general, there are three types of learning. Three types of serious learners. What do you mean serious learners? One are those blessed with very good memories. And I find to hold on to learning in a natural way, you need a very good memory. Not just a good memory. Torah is quite complex. Gemara is complex. You need a very good memory to break it down. Two is those that have good chazara skills. You understand what I'm saying, guys? We don't realize that. It's a skill. To chazar well is a skill. Some people it speaks to. The idea of reviewing and going over things makes sense to them. You know what I mean? It speaks to you. Certain things speak to you in life. You get it. You're organized. That's just how you are. And then there's everybody else. By the way, when those two things come together, that's usually when you get like a gadol, right? Someone has a great memory and chazars well, so they're usually off the charts in their ideas of Torah and their knowledge. But they fool us into thinking that it's easy, but it's not. But then there's everybody else, okay? And the everybody else are people who very much want to, but are stuck in really attaching themselves to Yedias HaTorah. A wonderful Avreich, someone I know quite well, said to me that he learns, and he's been learning for years, from Siris Nefesh, with sacrifice, with excellence, top kolo. He says he remembers nothing. Yesterday's learning was geschmack, today's learning is forgotten. Rabosai, maybe you'll say to me that Ion HaTorah is the Iker. What we call in Yiddish, harving and learning, going deep in learning. And I will tell you that I agree with you. And the fact is that I've been a Rebbe at a decently high level for 20 years in an Ion Shir. And I've been trained for decades in teaching Ion and learning Ion. So that's what it's all about. For both of you, here's the point. Balance. Balance. We have to grow up a little bit. It's not enough that you know how to learn. It's not. That's what I tell myself. Baruch Hashem, I think in a certain way I know how to learn. But it's not enough. Because that's not what it's all about. Yaakov is Bechir Avis. Because why? Because he took the best elements, as you know, of Avram and the best elements of Yitzchak and infused them into what's called Tiferes, and that's Torah. That's what Yaakov is, and that's why he's Bechir Avis. That's why Yaakov is the greatest of the Avot. To be the greatest of Avram and Yitzchak is something unbelievable, but he's called, the Medrash calls him Ayin Vav, Bereshis Rabba, Bechir Avis, the chosen of the Avis. I think that's why, because he's balanced. Altus Lobodka commented that someone who has a big head, very, very large head, but it doesn't match his body, is a Baal Mum in Halacha. He's called a blemish. He's not kosher for the Avodah as a Kohen. Are you getting the idea, guys? So this, that's saying, it's a childish answer. It's childish, I hate to say it. Saying, well, yeah, but Lima Bein is Iker. So what? That's a good answer if a person can only do one. But why are we so, what we call mistapik b'muad, why are we so satisfied with our lack of, again, I don't speak to anybody specific, I'm talking about the general world as I'm seeing it, and if I'm wrong, halavai would be wrong. Is that maybe really knowing the Torah is only for Gedolei Torah, it's for Rav Shechter. Bosai, you got an Aliyah on Simchas Torah. Huh? Maybe if you were 12, no one here is 12, you got an Aliyah. We also had a Sher Bochar Bono. We also had a Shinas on the Torah Semis. Torah Tzivalon Amarsha Kilas Yaakov. Kilas Yaakov. All the whole Jewish people. Not Kilas Yanai, as the Medrash says. Torah wasn't given over to Gedolim. Gedolim are a whole different level. Torah wasn't given over only to those of brilliant memories. Come on. We believe this garbage. Friends, and there's very, very little Hadrach in this learning. There's very little guidance in this learning, in this area. The same Bacher, I talk in Eretz Yisrael standards. My kids grew up, let's say they start Gemara in a serious way, in 5th grade, in 6th grade. They have, in the Israeli system that my kids are part of, you have 3 years of Yeshiva Ketana, another 2 or 3 years of Yeshiva Gedolah, and you still keep growing after that. Easily you have 10 years of Hadrach, of guidance in how to learn. 10 years. A boy is spending the Iker of his first Seder in how to learn. How much Hadrach is there? And I'm sure it's true in the American system also, and I imagine it's true in modern Orthodox high schools also, if I would be so bold, right? How much Hadrach is there in how to hold on to your learning? It's so non-commensurate. So for all these reasons, we're both saying, Siyat Shmaya, I wrote a short, personal, powerful book to help in this incredibly important area in our Avodas Hashem. And I hope and pray that I'll help thousands with it. People give me good feedback already. And Bez Hashem B'Shus Zeh, hopefully I'll remember more. How about an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. So, Bosei, maybe you're saying to yourself, can I really remember great amounts of Torah? Can I really remember a lot? So for both sides, I will not make you Rav Shechter. I will not make you Rav Adi Yosef. I will certainly not make you Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I will not make you Rav Moshe Heineman. But who cares? Is that what it's about? They don't need my book. I need them, right? Obviously. But you can know a tremendous amount. Believe in yourself. And here's the point. Here's the good news. You can know more and hold on to more learning than you're holding on to now. And you're spending so much time. You know, it looks to me the serious group that's here. Let's say your plan is, I know who's going to be a lawyer, who's going to be a doctor, who's going to be a Rebbe, who's going to be a Rav, who's going to be a... But, you know, Rabbanim also. Let's say you learn 1 hour a day, right? I used to spend a lot of time reading history. I don't read too much now. But if I would learn history 1 hour a day, that's a lot of dedication. That's a lot of time to spend on something. So even if you're, you know, not going to hardcore learning, a good Jew wants to learn 1 hour a day, 1 hour and 15 minutes a day, have no mahalach in how you're going to remember any of that and just keep going is so minimalistic. Rav Moshe, how much is a little bit more Torah worth? Kol chafatzecha lo yishuba. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, all of its chafatzim are lo yishuba. The Yerushalmi says, Dvar echa min ha-Torah, shev l'kol mitzvos kulam. One word of Torah is worth all the mitzvos. Vishinantun levanecha, which means to teach your children. Of course, you know also the Gemara in Kedushin says, a lesson of shinun, of sharpness, like shinina, Rav Yehuda, I believe, is called shinina. Shinanta levecha, shu divrei Torah mechudana beficha. Torah is supposed to be sharp in our mouth. Yishalcha adam davar, al tegal game of a tomar lo elomor lo miyad. You're supposed to be able to answer right away, on the spot things. So this book that I wrote about Bosai was written from many years of trial and error. By the way, I consider myself in the third category. I have a decent memory. I don't want to put down God's gifts God's given me, but it's not good enough to remember Torah. And I'm not a natural chazara guy. You know, thank God I'm naturally inquisitive. I naturally break things down. I've been trained to break things down, etc. But like that doesn't come easy to me. So really, which is what I think is one of the reasons it's a good book, is because I'm not writing from the perspective of really someone who like it came easy to, or is it yet easy to, but I write it from the perspective of someone who's in the struggle. And I found that hundreds and thousands of learners, I would argue most serious learners, are struggling one way. Now, one more word of introduction before we talk a little bit about some of the methodologies of the book, is that we all know the idea of cheshbon ha-nefesh. What does cheshbon ha-nefesh mean? What does cheshbon ha-nefesh mean, guys?
Self-reflection,
considering our ways, right? It wasn't so long ago that we stood at Ne'ilah thinking about our ways, how we become better. Hopefully we remember a little bit the Kabbalah we took upon ourselves. Many of us forget the Kabbalah we took upon ourselves. But self-reflection. I found an interesting thing that even those who do engage in self-reflection, right? If it's how am I davening, how's my Kedusha, how's this? When it comes to learning, they don't have that much self-reflection. It's odd. You see what I mean? It's unusual. People don't spend that much time thinking about their learning. And tell me, guys, if they do self-reflection on their learning, usually what aspect of learning do they self-reflect about? What?
Bittul Torah.
Bittul Torah, right? Excellent. What's your name?
Aryeh Steiber.
Aryeh, right? Like Aryeh said. I told you you knew, right? Most people, if they do, but they'll tell you the story about the Gra, you spent 5 minutes, this, that. That's it. Oh, I wasted so much time. Spent too much time on the Giants game. Spent too much time this, right? Dvar Torah every commercial. Don't make a Dvar Torah every commercial, guys. That's just, what are you doing? Yeah, you want to watch a game? Watch a game. You know, it's weird. But anyway, it's my personal opinion. There was some group of guys, and when I was in Yavne, they wanted to have like a poker game and like have a Dvar Torah in the middle. That's what I'm saying. You're playing poker, you don't have a Dvar Torah in the middle of the game. You know what I mean? So, come on. Okay, that's a separate point when it comes to discuss poker or football. Sir Bosai. If we do engage in cheshbon nefesh and learning, it's just about how much time I wasted this time, wasted that time. How about another cheshbon nefesh? How am I spending my time? And it's even better, guys. It's not guilt-oriented. You know what I mean? Any business you have, I just spoke to a big businessman yesterday. I ran into him in Baltimore. So he says he's got restaurants. He's got restaurants, plumbing business, collar business. This guy is a real entrepreneur. Right? I should have figured out when I saw him driving up in that cool Tesla and the two-tone shoes. But he's like, you know, he's a very interesting guy. He learned in the mirror and very interesting fellow. Anyway, so I said to him, why are restaurants not Matzliach? You know, so many restaurants are not Matzliach. It seems his restaurant is doing good. What I checked out, it was doing well. He says, because a guy thinks he has a great recipe. Great recipe equals successful restaurant. Make sense, guys? Great restaurant. Well, this is not Sy Sims Business School, I know, but right, great restaurant. You can tell this to your Sy Sims friends. Great restaurant, success. Does that work or no? Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work?
It's a lot more than that.
It's McDonald's, great recipe, bad recipe, right? Bad recipe, great restaurant, right? It's not. Yeah, I need a plan, fellas. You need a plan. I had a friend when I was in public school in seventh grade, Chris Knowles. Chris was short for Christian. He wasn't from our faith, you know? So he said that he wouldn't eat in McDonald's. He says, why? He says they put all the stuff in like one huge vat. Like it's just all the stuff, all the raw ingredients. And like you press one thing, it's fries. Another thing is like the ham sandwich. Another thing is you wouldn't touch it, right? So Sarbosa, you need a plan. You need a plan. So you should cheshbon ha-nefesh about how you're learning. Not necessarily, that's what part of what I try to do in my book is to make a flashlight, just getting people thinking about another aspect of your learning. How am I learning? Am I learning well, Be'in? How much time am I spending here? I don't know if you guys know the name Gedalia Hochberg, but he was once the best bacher in these hallowed halls of Yeshiva University. Okay, so we were in Karen Biavna together. In the book, I don't mention by name, so you're getting the insight. Anybody go to Karen Biavna? Sir Blachman's in there also, not by name. I mean, it's in acknowledgments. I'm already Rabbi Blachman, but I'll mention him by name also. Most of my habits, since we have some of this, tell me the people in Yeshiva in Karen Biavna. You guys want Rabbi Blachman's here? Anybody? Okay, good. So, I mean, everybody, you know who he is. You know who he is. Okay, so I just said Rabbi Shipley, you know who he is. So guys, my friend Gedalia, listen to this. Today he was, you know, honestly, from what I know, he was the best bacher in NYU. In a sense, probably valedictorian also, probably when he was learning Gittin during biology class. I don't know, you know, that's what he did. He told me once, it's going back 35 years, this story, that he sat under a tree, he paced under a tree, he's a pacer, for 3 hours thinking about his Seder Limud. He wasn't beating himself up for wasted time. He He was thinking, should I learn this? Should I learn that? Should I learn this? 3 hours. 3 hours. Today, he's a major posek. Anybody know the name? Any Gesher Bochum here? David Rossman?
Yeah, yes.
David Rossman is a Talmud of Gedaliah Hochberg. Any Torah Raga Bochum here? Andy Yudin is a Talmud of Gedaliah Hochberg, right? So he's a very gifted person, but someone like him, he spent hours and hours and hours thinking about his learning. So you have to spend time thinking about how you're learning. If you got nothing out of this hour than pizza and this, it was worth it. Don't listen to anything I say, but spend time considering how you're learning. Not just, am I learning enough or not enough, or how to get another Seder in. You're Ian. How are you learning Ian? How are you learning Bekiyas? How much time are you giving teach? How are you reviewing? What are you doing? What are you doing to hold on to things? What are you doing to go deeper? Okay, so I want to share a few of the methods that I referred to. Obviously, we can't read the whole book. I also want you to buy the book, so that would be counterproductive. That was a joke. We're not going to talk about testing. Testing is one of the great fallacies. I have an outstanding, one of the last chapters I put in is about testing. I'm very happy because I hit it on the head. I think, you know, people think, oh, I took a test, now I'm done, right? No. To quote the great Winston Churchill, the secular man of the 20th century, it is not the end. It's not the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. Testing, friends, is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning. But you read about it more in the book. You'll see who that was a quote for. We're not going to talk about how shiurim giving, making chaburas and shiurim giving them over to others can be helpful to you. We're not going to discuss proper attitudes, being organized, the pace you should learn about, your ratzon. We're not even going to discuss the Grun's monumental principle. When his great Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, returned to him and said, Rebbe, I learned Seder Moed 14 times and it's still not sharp by me. And the Grun turned to he, who would be the father of all yeshivas, right? This yeshiva also goes back to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. All yeshivas go back to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Everything goes back to him and the Grun. And he said, Kol Yamecha Bamod B'Chazor Koy. All of your days, 14 times, my friend, my dear student, is not enough. Kol Yamecha Bamod B'Chazor Koy. All of your days, you have to keep chasing. We're not going to discuss that. But guys, I do want to discuss a little bit of the four steps, what I call the four steps towards Yedias HaTorah, which is the central Mahalach. A little bit, we're going to talk about that. But first and foremost, I want to discuss a skill, which I saw other Svarim in Hebrew, excellent Svarim, didn't even touch this. So perhaps not a new concept, but I want to ask a personal question, okay? If no one minds, if you know, we're all friends by now, I've been speaking for 15 minutes already. You're full of pizza and coke, we can get a little personal, okay? Have you ever had problems spelling the word necessary by show of hands? Has it ever been difficult to you to spell necessary? Okay? Okay, good. Close to half. All right, close to half. So I want to tell you, it's personal, huh? You didn't want to admit it. Now, I'm assuming that half of you admitted it, and the other, you know, half of the other half were too shy to say, so it's really about two-thirds of you. But let's say it's half of you. Half of you had problems saying necessary. How do I remember how to spell necessary? Here it is. Never eat chocolate, right? Eat salami sandwiches and remain young. That is a mnemonic, guys, okay? That is a mnemonic. That's quite a long mnemonic, right? But that's how I remember it. Now, I want you to focus on this for a second. I, as a reshiva, right, cannot misspell things. Very, very not professional. You know, you can't be yeshivish as a rosh yeshiva, you know? You can't, right? You're going to be businessmen, you're going to be doctors, you know, whatever you want to do. You have to spell things the correct way, right? So for me, I would say it's a very big deal, but to spell the word necessary correctly means something. Right? And in general, we are presenting ourselves. You have to spell things correctly. So spelling the word necessary the right way means something. And for years, I couldn't spell it the right way. And now, here's what I want you to feel. I do not imagine myself faltering in how to spell necessary ever again. Can you feel that, guys? And I will be able to spell it the right way. Especially after saying it 3 or 4 times when I've given this class over. Hopefully more times in Israel. So Rabosai. But let's talk about something else. Rav and Shmuel, right? Rav and Shmuel, first generation great sages in Bavel, right? Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. Rav, we passen like Rav in Israel, we passen like Shmuel in Mammon. We passen like Rav in prohibited matters, we passen like Shmuel in, we passen like Shmuel when it comes to monetary matters. How do you remember who said what? Now, you might remember, but you might not. So the way I remember is because Shmuel is like Samuel with a dollar sign. So we passen like him in Mammon, right? Guys, these are simanim. Now, I want to tell you, a Talmud who I got into Simanim, two or three forums ago, said to me that he's making Simanim on Sefer Shoftim. Simanim is loosely translated as mnemonics, or perhaps not even so loosely translated, mnemonics. He's making Simanim. I want to show you a beautiful simon. He's making Simanim on Sefer Shoftim. The 12th parak of Sefer Shoftim, as you know, talks about a civil war between the Ephraim and the Gibeonites. He says, how do I remember that that's the topic of the 12th parak? Now watch what he did. He says 12 is one that turns into two. Country, Democrats, Republicans. They got it, right? One house divided under God. That was a joke, guys, right? But I hope everybody was part of Nancy Pelosi's going away party. But Rabosai, like, as a beautiful simon, he won't forget that. That's a simon. Now imagine. Now, right now, it doesn't sound like a big deal. If you want to learn Shoftim and remember it, imagine if he has, I don't know how many program in Shoftim. This was a last-minute addition to this year, but I thought it was such a sweetie. I got it in there. He's actually mentioned the book also. But imagine you want to remember all of Sefer Shoftim, right? So how are you going to remember that? Unless you're one of those first two kinds. If you have a photographic memory, you're Eitan Feiner, Herschel Schachter, etc., Soloveitchik, whoever you want. I mean, people are blessed with great memories. They don't need me, right? But you're not like that, right? So then you have to do something to give yourself an edge. So he can, for sure, chazer on some level. Obviously, it's not the whole book. But as opposed to the way most of us learn, which is just happenstance and hit or totally hit or miss. I remember certain things. We all remember certain things, right? No, I don't want to learn Shoftim once or twice or three times or four times and forget about it. I want to stay attached to Sefer Shoftim. So you have 32 simonim like that. You can quickly review the book. It makes sense? That's the power of simonim, guys. Now, you might be saying, listen, this is some newfangled thing. I heard Chappelle's a little modern. Here's the proof. Guys, Chazal are okay? You believe in the rabbis? We good with the rabbis? So I want to share with you a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuftalit. The Gemara you should all see. Beautiful Gemara. The Gemara darshan is the Aleph base. Aleph Bay Gimel Dalit. Beautiful, beautiful Gemara. I have a bunch of shurim in this Gemara. Aleph base, Aleph Bet, Aleph Bina. It all starts with learning. Aleph Bina, Aleph Bina. Gimel Dalit, Gomel Dalim. What a Chazal darshan on the word Samach Ayin, right? Samach 60, then Ayin 70. Simanim asay, make Simanim. The rabbis are the ones who started the fire. They told me to do this. Simanim asay. But they didn't stop and say that. They added two more words. Simanim asay uknei Torah. You can check the Gemara, and I make it up. Simanim asay uknei Torah. Write Simanim and acquire the Torah. So Chazal tell us they were supposed to do this. It's not a cute thing. I started off cutely with the necessary thing. You don't care about necessary, don't care about necessary. But you should care about the 12th parak of Shoftim. Simanu Maseu Knei Torah. And Chazal say, in the negative, in the Gemara in Erevin, it says also in the Dalet, Ein HaTorah Niknas Ela B'Yisurim. So it's a Pella Otzum to me. It's an absolute Pella that people don't employ this technology. People don't employ the methodology that Chazal sent us to remember the Torah. So anybody who thinks it's like too childish for them now, you're standing against Chachmei Talmud. If you want to do that, you know, There are better places than why you to do that, guys. This is a Torah Dig institution. Come on. We believe in Chazal. Are we good? Simanim Asay Knei Torah. I don't know why Olam Olam doesn't do this. I don't really know. I don't know. Now, Rabosai, even very brilliant people. Now I'll say something. I think this is the first time I've quoted this publicly. Mendel, as I'm writing the book, I said, where did I first hear about Simanim? I said, Rabbi Lachman used to make Simanim. I don't know if you guys know Rabbi Lachman. Those are in Cambria. Rabbi Lachman is a genius. You know what I'm saying? He's a genius. What does a genius mean? You know what? What's the definition of a genius, guys? Someone of average intelligence and Jewish parents. I don't mean that type of genius. Rabbi Lachman is a true genius. Any Talmid Yidden from Mekar B'Yah, is that a true statement? He's a real genius. He, no less than Mendel Blachman, told me he made Simanim. I remember. I was just got to, he's telling me to remember where things were. He used to have a Simon, Ayin Gimel here. Everybody needs these things, okay? Bosai, listen to this. I'll blow your minds right now. Chazal themselves use Simanim. I followed once, check me, I followed once 20 daf in Shabbos, two in every 2.5 daf I found the simon. I didn't keep going, it was enough of the theory. Friends, what do we base Hilchos Shabbos on? What we do in the Mishkan or how we made the Mishkan? Which one? How we made the Mishkan, okay? Was there any baking in the making of the Mishkan? Was there any baking? Is there any baking in the doing of the Mishkan? Yes, right? The Mishkan, we have the Lechem Apanim, the showbread, we bake, right? The only Bishul, now guys, you don't have to know a lot about Shabbos, you know one of the major topics in Shabbos is Bishul. Bishop Borer, etc. I mean, that's Aleph Beis, Bishop Borer, Muktzah, etc. Carrying. So Bishul is all over. Bishul was what they did. Why did they do Bishul in the Mishkan? To the dyes, right? A lot of dyes. They made the dyes, took the roots, made dyes, and dyed the wolf. Okay? But, check me, the Mishnah in Ayin Gimel, Bosai says, Ofa instead of Bishul. The Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amud Beis asks, why does the Gemara say Afia, which is why I say Afia, baking, right? Baking, that's what your wife does. Someone came over to me and shared a gay recently. Said, no, I bake in the house. You bake, fuck a shy, I bake. And I wasn't, I'm not getting into the feministic questions here. I'm just trying to push them on him, you know? Girls want to buy, one of my wives told me, don't bring this, brought the book also, fuck a shy. We'll say, but usually, right? Ask your wife the difference between Afia and Bishul. It's two different things. One is baking in an oven, and one is Bishul with water, right? That's. You cook a soup, you bake a bread. Good? So why did Chazal say Afia? What's the answer? Sidur de Pasnaka. The Gemara says, you know why? This the Gemara asks the question. Well, no less than the Gemara asks the question. And the Gemara says, Sidur de Pasnaka. We grabbed the Seder of making bread. Yefe. What's the next question we have to ask?
Why?
Why? You know? You have to ask yourself, okay, but why does he do it in the Pasnaka? Why not speak like a man? You know, say, well, why, you know, like say, you always throw off the question. Oh, it's a Shver Gemara? Oh, it's a Shver Rashi? Oh, it's the Gemara. Okay, fine, so now answer the Gemara. We just move the question over. Moving the question over is answering the question. So why do you see do it in the Pas? Guys, what see do it in the Pas means? They took, Chazal took the order of making bread as a way to describe no less than 11 of the Melachos of Shabbos, right? The 39 Melachos or 40. We can't talk about that right now. And 11 are in the Sidur de Pas. Harisha, plowing, sowing, etc. Good? We're together, guys? Is that a quite fair question? Why do they do that? Why take Sidur de Pas? And the answer is?
It groups it.
What?
It groups all of them.
It groups all of them. And what is that? That's a simon, guys, right? That's a simon. So think about it. It's such a well-known. Everybody knows Sidur. Anybody who learned Shabbos a little bit, right? If you learn Shabbos a little bit, you guys are younger. It's not a tie on you. But ask any serious Kol member here. Certainly anybody in the Kol Elyon, right? Sidur de Pas is Aleph Beis in Shabbos, right? Everyone knows Sidur de Pas. But why do they use it? I contend, this is my Chiddush, because it's a simon. Chazal wanted to group something, and they said, oh, here we have a powerful terms. People, Bismana Mishnah, knew about. There might be Kabbalistic reasons also, so what? But let's say people knew about bread baking more than they knew about dye making. Sounds nice. Bread baking, dye making, right? They knew how to bake bread. That was Maisim B'chol Yom back then. So since everybody knew that, so Chazal said, oh, here's a function that we use. Incredible. So both say, so it's Chazal's advice. It's what we should do, etc. So there's a lot to talk about how to make simanim. If we had more time, we make it into a workshop and talk about making simanim. It's a little bit difficult to do on the fly. But that basic idea of a simon is you work, if there's a piece of information that you would like to choose to remember, and you find yourself, here's the point. There are things we all naturally remember, right? The fact, listen, I'll give you an example. The fact that Rav and Shmuel argue about Mammon and Isser, that stood by me. You understand? I didn't need a simon for that. There's no end to it. But who said what, I had trouble remembering. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I need a simon. So you always have to like think. And now every person naturally remembers all their things. You're in the yeshiva where they talk a certain type of language. Everybody knows the basic idea of a chazak or a rov. Or if you're in shop, there are things that we all know that are common knowledge. You don't need simanim for those. And there are things which you don't need to know, which we'll get to in a few moments, which is be out of your bandwidth. You don't have to worry about some of those. But there are things you'd like to remember, right? If you learn a lot, a Rav and Shmuel comes up all the time. I want to remember that. Well, how do I figure it out? So then you try to think, what would be a distinctive, short, evocative way? By the way, in the memory... In the memory literature, which the book isn't so, I know, you know, part of it, there are all types of good things about memory. There's memory palaces. I recently had a Talmud Yeshiva uses the Greek concept of memory palaces. Good idea. Didn't work for me. But it's a nice idea. Memory palaces attach something to your, like, attach ideas to your childhood home. And as you can imagine yourself walking through your home, and you can think about the ideas as you go. But, okay, that's something else. But you have to work with things you know, and then turn it over into something you know. So I was saying, in the memory literature, they talk about using, like, even, you know, not clean images. We're not going to use that for Torah because that's evocative. Listen to this. I gave this shiur last night, and a Talmud mentioned to me, I think someone said, I think I got him into Siman, I'm not sure, but he said he has, for all of Masechet's Brachos, a different basketball player for every daf in brachas. I said, that's, you know what that's called? That's called being mekadosh the chomer. You know, everybody, oh, chassidish svarim. You have to mekadosh the chomer. Shabbos is coming. Let's eat five portions of cholent. That's kiddush chomer. You take your knowledge of the NBA, which, you know, I think I'm an Eloy in sports, by the way. I think, honestly, you know, I was a high school. I played on that court. I got beat on that court, you know, by some guys probably had like a Rosh Hashiva today or a long court, or, you know, but I got smeared on the MTA court. I don't know what it is today. But I was a high school all-star. I know what it is, Rabosai, and I have a very good head for sports. So I remember. So that's something I naturally remember. So let me take my knowledge and take it over. I never heard this before. It was just last night. You know, within 12 hours ago, I heard this idea. You remember my friend Talmud Jimmy Fetterman. He remembers brachos. Now, guys, I want to take a step back because part of the reason I think my book is a good book, and I only thought about this afterwards, is where I'm coming from, right? I just gave an Ian Shear, you know, to in JSS. I'm an Ian Rebbe, you know what I'm saying? I've been teaching Ian. People consider me okay at it. You know what I mean? I like to learn. I like to go deeply into things. I'm naturally part of that. So I wrote a book to get to Shlemus. You understand? Sometimes you have people like Natural Bekiyim that write these books. It's different because they're not. It's good. All the books are good. I'm not coming to say, but no one should think like, oh, this is what he does. Not that I don't care what you think about me, but I want to talk about, I think the book has more... not the word is not more genuineness, more authority is not the word I'm looking at, but it's coming from a perspective understands learning. What?
Authenticity.
That's another word I was looking for. You know when you have, but you know what I'm saying? I've seen people make simanim in stupid ways. You know what I mean? They take the three parts of the daf that are not so relevant and they say, remember those. That's not what it's about. What it's really about is taking the Ian skills that you've developed in your time in Eretz Yisrael in high school, post that, and you're learning, and taking those skills now as you're growing as Lamdanim, but you want to remember also, and using those two things together and getting to Shlemus. You know what I mean, guys? That's Shlemus. Shlemus is when the different aspects of me, the different parts of me are coming together. So my Ian learning is what's teaching me what's the Iker in the Sugya, what's the Tuffel in the Sugya, what are the main points, what are the not main points, and now, but what do I want to remember? That's what you have to use that. Okay? Sir Bosai, now what's the power of a simon? The power of a simon is you got it, right? So often our knowledge is blurry. We kind of know. I used to falter with necessary. I don't imagine myself faltering again. Now, the Yetzer Hara tells you, listen, what's the big deal? You know, come on. So there are three answers to this question, why I feel you should engage in these things. And then we're going to talk about other parts of the book, finishing up on Simonim right now. Every bit of Torah is that chashiv, right? You've all heard that shmuv. You've all said that shmuv. Maybe you convinced people who are less into learning than you are about the fact they should just learn a little bit. So all those shmuzim have to get applied to remembering your learning a little bit. Just like that 5 minute Seder, that 5 minutes extra, that 10 minutes on Shabbos, that 2 minutes before Shacharis, that extra. So apply that. Every little idea is important, right? Two, let's imagine you made one simon a week. Now, you're a little younger than me, right? I could be your father. I have sons older than all you guys. I have grandsons not older than all you guys. But I'll tell you, someone, check with other older people, older and wiser than me. When you're younger, you don't see things. You think like, when you do the right steps and you keep doing them, you get somewhere. Make sense? Let's say you would make a decision now. I'll make two simonim a week out of my learning. It's not a lot. It'll take you 10 minutes of time, 15 minutes of time. Maybe you write them another 5 minutes. In 15 minutes, you can make two simonim a week. You do that in a year, you'll have 110 simonim. In 5 years, you'll have 550. In 10 years, you'll have 1,000, 1,100. That's a lot of Torah to know. Now you say, oh, 10 years is so far away. Guys, I'm telling you. Trust me, 10 years passed like that. I was out on that MTA court getting whipped. Oh, what was that kid's name? Ooh, you had such a good point guard. But I remember his, anyway, scary. So I still see him at night sometimes in my dreams, but my nightmares. But it passes. Time passes. I have over a million grandchildren. You know, I just got married the other day. I was a nice looking thin guy, you know, with hair. Here I am in front of you. I just became, you know, my career was in Ishtar 15 years, and Mishpels were 5 years. It flies. You do the right steps now. And you do things like this, put ideas of Torah in it, whatever way you want on your radar screen, it'll make a difference. You'll be a different man in 10 years, and you'll thank me. Okay? So, Rabosai, now that we know what a simon is, I want to teach you one. Okay? Just give me another 10 minutes, and we'll get to another aspect of the book. Okay? M2C2U, right? It sounds like a Star Wars robot. M2C2U means remembering begins with how you learn it the first time. Okay? I'm not talking about Simanim specifically, but remembering begins with how you learn the first time. Many people think they're going to engage in remembering and they go straight to trying to remember. It's a silly thing to do. You have to first learn well the first time. Now, what I think helps one learn correctly is M2C2U, right? That's my synonym. M is multiple and mouth, right? Learning out loud and learning something multiple times. You can't learn something one time and expect to remember it. C2 is clarity and chiddush, and U is understanding. Okay, we don't have time to talk about the difference between clarity and understanding. You're welcome to buy the book. They sound similar, clarity and understanding. I believe they're two different things. But that's the first yesod I want you to know, is that without learning something well the first time, and including learning well the first time, is before your chazara stage. Learning well means learning something more than once. That's what it means. Chazaring and going over it. That's chazara is the second stage. The first stage of learning is learning something more than one time. Someone who learns daf yomi, which is a great thing to do, I'm not putting down daf yomi, but you learn daf yomi one time and thinking now you're going to make a siman and remember it. It's not serious. You don't know the information well enough to do that. There were Gaonim who said the first few times they learned the Gemara, it's black. The Gemara is black to them. They don't know anything. You have to sit with it. But what I want to talk is something that we can all use starting today is C. The idea of C is Chiddush. What's Chiddush? You guys are younger, right? But I remember exactly where I was in 9/11, where I heard about it. And everybody I've asked remembers. And I've spoken to older people, and they remember where they were when JFK went down. Right, Kennedy. You remember things that are chidushim. So, the more Moshe Feinstein said about himself that the reason he remembered everything, and anybody who learns Chubas or Moshe or even Drash Moshe and Chumash knows that Ramosha's tfisa, his knowledge was of a different level, of a totally different level. He said about himself, it wasn't great memory that did it. It was he was so moved by Torah, every little bit of Torah moved him. Now, what does it mean to be moved? Say, oh yeah, I also want a chiddush. Guys, I'm not talking about something you proudly write up in the Beis Yitzchak. Is that the name of the journal still? Right? Like, oh, I have a big chiddush. It's going to impress the Rebbeim. Right? That's not what it means. A chiddush means a chiddush to you. You heard something that I said to you, it should excite you. Torah should excite you. Right? Your Rav and Shul said something that was very mechuddush. Gevaldig. Be moved by it. Now guys, not to be moved in a weird way. I was at a wedding recently, and there was a little bit of a strange individual who made a bracha before me, and we was on the Old City rooftops, and he made the bracha, and he said, the mosque is now blowing up, right? That's unusual, right? That's weird, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about, you hear a vort, that should excite you. If it is, I'm not talking about a fake excitement. The little bit of excitement you have, maybe it's not cool. You don't have to get up and dance like a strange person, but like, wow, Torah is amazing. This insight is amazing. The fact another 1,000 people have the insight, the fact that another 1,000 people have the insight doesn't make it any less amazing. That's chiddush. The more you engage in it, first, it's a very good way to enjoy Torah. It's a very good way to attach yourself to learning in general. It's a good way to remember learning. We remember things that are new to us. Okay? So my last idea, Rabosai, just to share is this. It's encapsulated in four words. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta. You try to hold on to everything, you remember nothing. The reason maybe some of you have had difficulty in remembering is because you try to remember too much. Tafasta mulo tafasta. Now, this is painful in a certain way, because the person says, look, I started learning, and I like learning, and I want to remember everything. Yefe mod. Guys, you can't remember everything. Even Gaonim don't remember everything. You know, there were those. There were Chaim Kanievskis in the generation. There are Rav Shechters at NYU. But most Talmidei Chacham don't remember everything. They don't. It's a fact. So now, does that make sense? Now, when I learn a Gemara and I say, I'm going to remember everything, so now you've set up for yourself an impossible goal, which will be self-defeating and crush you and not let you think about what you should remember. Makes sense, right? That's called tafasta mubalo tafasta. You try to grab too much, you grab nothing. And as much as it's true in all areas of Torah and all areas of life, it's super true in the memory world. Gemara is very, very complex. It's a conversation. It's a back and forth. It's a shakavataria. It's very, very hard to remember conversations. And you don't, you think about it. You don't try to remember a conversation. When you go out on a date and the girl tries to remember, he said this, and I said this, he said this. That's not normal. Both said, believe me, once you're married for 3 months, you won't try to remember everything your wife said. You'll probably forget most of it, right? And she's going to say to you, don't you remember we spoke about this? You say, no, I don't. And she's going to be upset. I was like, right? Dating is not real life. Tafasta rulo tafasta. So here's the point. What a person has to, once they make that, accept that absolute inviolable principle, you have to filter. And this is a talk which many people don't have, means you have to decide, what am I going to try to remember, and what am I going to learn and enjoy and say, okay, this is not, maybe I'll remember, maybe I won't, but it's not going to be part of the corpus that I'm putting into my Mishnah. The Mishnah says, so my shot is that each one of us has a Mishnah. Each one of us has our Torah, has the things that we're developing, has the Torah which meant different to us. That's what you have to make a specific point about. That's where your Mishnah is. That's where your contribution is, right? Now, you need guidance in that, because there's a lot more to talk about. You could read the book. There are objective ideas, there are subjective ideas, etc. That's part of the reason you stay in an Ian share, you're bound to Rebbeim. What types of Gemaras excite Rabbi Tversky? What kind of types of Gemaras excite Rabbi Adler? So that's where your Mishnah is coming to get a sense about what's objectively important. It's objectively important, there's a lot more to talk about, but those are the skills. So just to Lesakim, we spoke about Simonim. We spoke about the general idea of learning properly the first time, which has five different elements to it, which is learning multiply, learning with your mouth, learning out loud, learning with clarity, learning with chiddush, learning with understanding. Those are the five things you have to employ to learn well. And finally, we spoke or both said about the idea of filtering and getting to the realization that trying to remember everything is what stops us from remembering anything. And it really, in the end of the day, it happens to be, ironically, quite a personal thing. When you think about learning bein, we think of that as being personal. My chiddush, my Torah, my tfisa, my understanding. It's true. But ironically, I find memory is in a certain way more of a subjective thing. Because of this point of tafasta mevelo tafasta, and different minds remember different things, etc. So it becomes quite a personal question. So that's really something like, together with the cheshbon nefesh I mentioned, it's something a person should engage in. Like, I've learned something a whole week. Thursday comes, good. Okay, I know this Thursday is Kaddish Kedoshim, etc. No one's allowed to learn Rachman al Islam. Some people are Zuzim Makdim of Mitzvahs, you know, Baruch Hashem. But okay, but a regular Thursday, you sit down. I learned a lot of things this week. What do I want to remember from this week? What are the ideas? What are the concepts? What were the shmuzim I heard? What are the great ideas I heard? What were the gemaras I heard? What were the ideas from my Rebbe that I heard, etc.? Now, if a Rebbe's testing you, etc., obviously you go with him. But once you're past that stage, what is going to be my Mishnah, etc.? So, Bezat Hashem, anybody wants a sefer, it's here. I'm happy to sign it. Anybody wants to sign it. No one staying to the end of the year. I'm chayv anybody to buy it. Thank God I did well. I sold a lot of copies over my trip. And everybody should mivarech. Everybody should matzliach. Thank you for coming. We shall be matzliach in our attempts to grow in Torah and Avodas Hashem. Okay.